A yearly visit from our honored guest, one Dennis Kutzner.
Pastor Ron, appreciate your kind words. And Carol and I are delighted, as always, to have this opportunity to come and spend it with a great church, loving church, a church that is very positive. I don't remember when the first time was that we had the opportunity of visiting Victory, but it's been a few years ago. I know I was a lot younger. Some of you were a lot younger too. Isn't God good? There's too much to be thankful for, and we don't need to spend too much time concerned about the things that aren't that good, even the bad things. Scripture says we're supposed to give thanks for, doesn't it? In fact, that's where I'm going to challenge you to turn to this morning for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And while you're turning, Carol and I want to express publicly our appreciation to you as a congregation as you have risen up to be supportive of the ministry that God is now calling Carol and I to. We're still very much a part of Calvary Ministries International, newly branded CMI Global. In fact, this year at the convention, for the first time ever, I am now on the Council of Overseers and was elected to be secretary of the corporation. In all the years that we've been serving as an employee, obviously it was a conflict of interest to be on a board or to be in a position of corporate responsibility. And so that's a huge change that I appreciate the opportunity to remain in leadership. And we've been given the responsibility of maintaining the church side to CMI. So everything that we have done with churches for the last 30 years, Carol and I will continue to do that. So when a church is without a pastor like we've experienced and worked together here, I'm the guy that's going to get called, and I'm going to be the one working with that church to help them through. The primary difference is I will not be paid by the fellowship to do that. That money must come from churches and from ministries that we're associated with. And so thank you from the bottom of our heart for supporting us on a monthly basis from the church here. And our goal is to continue to offer pastoral help to your pastor, as well as the encouragement we always get coming back. And we don't talk often, but when we do, it's usually we have a reason and we have a purpose, and we work together on that. And so we want to maintain that relationship in a very positive way. In addition, we now have the opportunity, because of our rearrangement of how we are constructed, no longer being an employee of CMI, I've been given the unique responsibility and opportunity to expand what I do into other churches. Every week I send out numerous emails to a list of churches that we're in connection with. And right now that list is 175 churches, and there are only 70 churches in CMI. So that means we're connecting, Carol and I, with over 100 churches in many different ways. But yes, we're encouraging them, if they're not a part of something, to consider CMI. But there's no pressure. They do not have to feel obligated if they utilize the services that we have to offer, that they have to move toward any extended relationship with the organization. So what a great opportunity. We're also working with a ministry called Church Doctor Ministries out of Corona, Indiana, which is just a little burg west of Waterloo, Indiana, north of Fort Wayne. And it's an organization of church consultation that's been in existence for over 35 years, headed by a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod-ordained Concordia pastor, by the name of Dr. Kent Hunter. And Dr. Hunter has been involved in the church growth movement from its beginning. In fact, he was in the first class at Fuller with C. Peter Wagner and John Wimber. So that dates you back to, you know, when this whole thing got started many, many years ago. And Church Doctor goes into churches, all denominations. They've been in 66 different denominations, including the Roman Catholic Church, and offer full-blown consultation to help the church become a healthy church. I'm an employee for the purposes of health insurance of Church Doctor Ministries. I'm their first associate consultant specializing in risk management. So like when you have a special problem medically, your doctor sends you to the specialist. Ears, nose, and throat, and on and on and on we go. Well, my job with Church Doctor is to do risk assessment and help churches work through all of the issues revolving around liability so that their facility and their events and programming is up to par on being a safe place. So a lot of new things transition, and we're grateful to the Lord for his provision and how he's taking care of us. So again, thank you, Victory, for your part in playing such an important aspect of our ministry. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one verse, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Perhaps this week, if you have a few moments, you can run your concordance on the phrase, will of God, just in the New Testament. And look at the number of scriptures where the New Testament says something to this effect. This is the will of God. Here the Apostle Paul very clearly says, in everything. Now that covers the boat, doesn't it? From the beginning to the end. It leaves nothing unturned. In other words, in the Christian life, there is nothing that is going on that happens to us as a believer that we cannot give thanks for. Even the most difficult, trying things. Paul says he doesn't say just in the spiritual things, in the things that make you feel good, in the things that you believe is coming from God, give thanks. No, he says in everything. Because the Lord is in everything. He's working all things together for our good. He wants to benefit us. In the Psalms, from Psalm 103 to 107, those five Psalms all begin with either bless the Lord or in the fact of in trusting the Lord. You know, so a blessedness that comes from our trust in Him that He pours out upon us. We're going to celebrate this Thursday a national holiday, Thanksgiving. And we all have our various traditions and experiences that come to us because of family, which are all good and important and should. Certainly this holiday is a time for us to get together with families and enjoy one another. But let us not forget the purpose of why we come together, of giving thanks to the Lord. As the believer, it's not the only day of the year that we do that. As believers, as followers of Christ, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an ongoing everyday event. Now, like you, or at least if you're like me, not everything that happens to you in the days of your life do you give thanks for. There are some things that you have to settle the anger first when they happen. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot to make that experience happen, does it? I mean, for me, it can just be a light turning red instead of staying green. And it doesn't take a whole lot. Sometimes it just takes a word or a look, you know, and sets me off. And I wish I could say that at that moment, the first scripture that comes to my mind is 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything, give thanks. Takes a little bit, but usually comes around that, okay, Lord, you're working here. God's interested in what's going on in our lives. there's not a minute that he's not aware of you and your circumstances. There's not anything that's going on that catches him off guard. He is totally cognizant. In fact, the truth of it is, he is providence, I believe, is behind what's happening in our lives. Let's look at a passage in the Old Testament. Pastor Ron said he's been doing a lot of teaching and study from this book of Deuteronomy. Let's go to chapter 8. And let me take the few minutes that we have together here to talk about the Lord interacting in our lives. One cannot read through the Old Testament and be aware that God was active in his relationship to Israel. You know, the old watchmaker theory that he made the watch and wound it up and then he just sits back and watches. That's not our God. He's active and interactive with not just world history, but my history. There was a time, there was never a time that God wasn't in my life. There was a time before I became a Christian that I wasn't connecting with him in the way that I connect now. And as long as I have breath and I'm walking this earth, I desire to know him better and more deeply. And is that not what the Christian experience is about between you and God? Is getting to know him. I find this out. The more I learn about him, the more I learn about me. And what I learn about me, I'm not going to tell you. It's a good God. Let's just, we're not read the whole chapter, but let's just look at some verses, and then we'll take a few moments to talk about those verses and how it applies to our lives where we are now. Moses is rehearsing the story of Israel, how the Lord led them out of Egypt into the wilderness. They're still on their journey in the wilderness, making their way to possess what he had promised for them. And of course, the transition in what was taking place in Israel is extremely valuable to the church and to you and I as individuals, because how God was working with the nation, he works with us as individuals too. Again, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you've gone through some wilderness experiences. You've been in the desert. And maybe that's your situation now. Being in the desert is not such a bad thing when the Lord leads you there. I mean, look at Israel. They wandered in the wilderness for how many years? For a generation, 40 years. And yet the Bible in this passage clearly tells us that they didn't run out of food. The Lord provided heavenly food, angel food, miraculous food, every day. And on the Sabbath, when they weren't supposed to work, he gave them twice as much the day before. So they didn't have to pick it up on the Sabbath. And he told them not to keep it. The only time they could keep it is the day before Sabbath, because if they kept it, it molded. There's a thought I hadn't thought of. When God puts the meal before you, it's best to eat it right away. You know, it's like when Mom used to call to supper, and she kept calling and kept calling, and you kept putting off and putting off, and by the time you finally got there, it was cold. Well, when the Lord puts it out, let's eat. Let's take it in. So he's rehearsing with Israel what God has done. And let's just read again a few passages and then we'll discuss it. Here in verse 1 of chapter 8, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart. heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that men shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Let's pause there for a moment. So Moses is saying to the people, you need to remember. There's a time when we need to remember. And here he says, remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember what God has done. It was he who led you into the wilderness, and it was he who has led you through the wilderness all these years. This word here in the Hebrew literally means to go ahead. We were talking in Pastor's office this morning, he and I, and Brother Joe was in there, and we were talking about leading from the front. Our God is a front leader. In fact, if I were writing notes down, here's what I wrote down. God precedes us. He goes ahead of us. There is nothing that happens to me that God doesn't already know about, that God hasn't already been there ahead of time. In fact, the truth of it is, he's preparing the way ahead. So that when we get around the bend, what may be a surprise to us is God's already preparing that experience in our life. So he precedes us. So as I look back over my lifetime, everywhere I've been, every situation I've been in, God has led me there. God led me to the place that I accepted him as personal Lord and Savior, as he's done in all of our lives. He used circumstances, he used situations, he used people, he used sermons. Even when I was a young man, my first experience with God that I can remember as being a definite turning point in my life was when when I was 9 years of age, in the denomination that we were in, you had to receive the Lord, you had to acknowledge that you received the Lord in order to take communion. And then you were water baptized. And so I said something to my parents, and the next week I went forward. The minister stood there, and he asked me some questions. He said, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? My answer was yes, and it was true. Do you believe that he died on the cross to save you from your sin? And I said, yes, and that's what I had been taught. And he said, do you now receive him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior? And I said, yes. Well, in my 9-year-old mind, what I was doing was I was acknowledging what my cousin had done the week before. And I knew, I was smart enough to know that because he had gone forward in an altar call, he would now be baptized and then he would receive communion. We were served communion every Sunday. And to me, my 9-year-old mind, that was an important thing. And so I was water baptized, and I began receiving communion. Was I saved? Probably. But the truth of it is, God started doing something in my life at 9 years of age that culminated at the age of 15, when from the back of the church, on a Saturday night in a Nazarene church, and I was an Evangelical United Brethren, I left my seat and I walked to the front and kneeled at the front on my own and asked the Lord to come into my life in a way he'd never been before. And from that point on, I was never the same again. I believe God did something to me at 9, and he worked on me throughout the rest of that time until I was 15. And then I responded and became a Christian and started living that and witnessing that on a regular basis. I went home that night from church, and my parents were in the family room, and I walked in, and I said to my parents, I said, I went to the altar tonight and gave my heart to the Lord. And my dad was in his Lazy Boy, and he had his paper up, and he dropped the paper, looked over the paper at me, and kind of shook his head and pulled it back up and went about. You know, it was just a few months later that I had the privilege of at a EUB altar of praying with my father as he recommitted his life to Jesus Christ, because at the age of 15 in the United Brethren Church, he had come to the Lord and rededicated his life, and my mother rededicated her life, and years later it was my privilege to lead them both to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The next morning I walked into church, and I walked into a Sunday school classroom of a young man that I knew was planning to become a minister, and I looked at him and I said, "Jeff, last night I went to an altar and I made Jesus Christ Lord of my life." And he began to weep and threw his arms around me and hugged me and said, "I've been praying for you." Later that morning, I went to our Sunday school teacher and I told her, I said, "Tonight at the youth meeting, would it be all right if I shared my testimony of receiving the Lord as my Savior?" And she said, "By all means." So that evening, I gave my testimony to other young people my age that I had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So in less than 24 hours, I had witnessed to people. Nobody told me you were supposed to do that. I was just so full of peace and joy at the age of 15, knowing that I had done what I should do and what was right for me to do. And then later that summer, the Lord called me to preach. And my entire high school experience was as a Christian, impacting and influencing others toward a relationship with Jesus Christ. God had led me to those places. Everything that had happened in my life had been preparation for me to receive the Lord. And everything that has happened in my life since then has been preparation for what God is doing with me now. God knows what your life is. He knows where the end will be. And our desire needs to be to follow Him. If He's preceding us, it's best for us to follow Him. He knows what's there. He's not going to lead me astray. He's my good shepherd that will lead me in pastures that are green and full of lusciousness. There might be a stone here and there, a rock here and there, and there might be a valley and things that we have to climb over, but He's my shepherd. He's leading me. He's the good shepherd. He doesn't leave me alone. Is there something to be thankful for? Well, obviously, God is our leader. He precedes us where we're going. So there's nothing that we need fear. Also in this verse, I wrote it down. It says, not only did He lead you, but He fed you. So you were led and you were fed. He provided for Israel. Not only did He precede them, but He was their provision. Jehovah Jireh. Right? The Lord provides. The Lord is the provider. And in this particular case, what He provided them was what they needed to be sustained. Food. I won't bore you with a lot of detail, but there have been times in our Christian experience, Carol and I, where we weren't sure where the next meal was coming from. Where we'd leave on a Sunday and we'd go to a church and we'd preach. And in those days, maybe we were lucky if we got an offering. There were times that we preached and they took us to lunch and that was it. And we had to go home and we still had bills to pay. And we had daughters that needed to go to school and all of those kinds of things. And there would be some Sundays we'd come home in the summertime and there'd be a box full of potatoes and vegetables and we fixed it every way we could until it went away. And then in August of 1982, we'd been unemployed for almost 6 months. I was making plans to go east and go to a community and feel it out and see if that's where the Lord was going to lead us to plant a church. When Bishop Painel came and he said, Before you go, I know you're getting ready to leave. He says, before you go, will you wait 1 week? Wait till after the CMI ministers meeting this summer here we were living at the campgrounds in Angola at the time. I says, well, sure, Bishop, I can wait one more week. On the day of that ministers meeting, some things had happened. Number one, our refrigerator went out, so we we had a camp refrigerator. Camp refrigerator was like you get in a motel room. Can't put a whole lot in it. We didn't have any milk. We didn't have any eggs. There wasn't a whole lot in the refrigerator to begin with. And we had cans of meat in the cupboards. Some of those cans, the labels had fallen off, so we weren't sure what was in it. So it was kind of a, yeah, it was really a mystery and a surprise, you know, when we opened it to see what was going to be in that. That's where we were. The day of that minister's meeting, the first knock on the door was a gentleman from the church where we had pastored, and he was now a part of another church, and we knew that church, knew that pastor. And he said, we just butchered, and we've got some meat, and we just wondered, we wanted to give some meat to you. Is that all right? Was that all right? Absolutely. The problem was we didn't have a freezer. So, but we did live at the camp, and of course the camp had a huge walk-in freezer. So we met them up there, and they put the meat in there. And wow, this is great! God just provided. You know, they didn't know where we were, what was going on. We hadn't told anybody. The next knock that morning was another young man from the church where we had pastored, and he had his pickup truck, and he said, "You know, our new pastor," which I had helped them find their new pastor. Said he just moved into the parsonage. As you know, the parsonage has all the refrigerator and microwave and stove and all of that. So he doesn't need that. And he had a refrigerator that he wanted to get rid of. And so he says, why don't you take it to the camp? And if the Kushners can't use it, then give it to the camp. Can we use it? Now I had a place to put the meat. Right? Had a refrigerator. The next knock on the door was a young pastor and his wife from a nearby church that were coming for the meeting that afternoon and evening. And they said, last night we took up an offering for you and your family, and here's a check. And said, we also bought groceries and brought them, and they brought 4, 5, or 6 bags of groceries that we now had fresh. That all happened in a space of about 3 hours. Before the afternoon was up, Dr. Pano had put forth a resolution among those ministers that would make us the executive secretaries of CMI. That was 30 years ago in August. What he did in a matter of hours supplied our need and provided a job for us. Now, he says here to Israel, don't forget. You know what the issue is with us human beings? God can do all these beautiful things for us, and we forget the next instant. Something else comes up, trouble happens, difficulty presents itself to us, uncertainty comes our way, not sure how we're going to make it, how we're going to provide this for our family. And the Lord says, remember what I did. Yeah, Lord, why does he not want us to forget? Because the God who did it then is the God who'll do it now. The God who takes care of us and provides for us back then is the God who will take care of us and provide for us now. Even of the necessities, he will provide. Not only did he lead them, but he fed them with manna from heaven. Miraculous provision. Angel food. Now, you would think, wouldn't you, that if you're eating heavenly food, what other care would you have? What other gripe or complaint would you have? And remember, this is Israel in the wilderness before there were McDonald's. You know, there weren't any stop-offs to get gas where you could get just about anything and everything you need in a matter of seconds. They were eating heavenly food, and yet they complained. Have you ever heard this one? Well, we're going to another church because we don't get fed there. How many have heard that? You've never said it, but you know people that have. Okay. How stupid is that? How many know you can get fed even on tube steak? Sometimes a hot dog just really tastes good. That's right. The issue with Israel wasn't what they were eating. The issue was they had no control over it. in our own lives, dealing with God's provision generally has to do with our willingness to receive from Him or not. Are we willing to receive from His hand? Or are we going to be not received because we want to control what's going on? So why did God put them in the wilderness? Moses says He did it so to test them, to humble them. God lets us go into difficult. You know, haven't you ever prayed this with God? Why can't you just let everything go really nice like they are right now? Just don't let anything break. You know, keep the equipment running. You know, I'll change oil, but don't let anything else happen to the car. And you know, that's not how we live. God's in everything. And maybe in some ways He's in the more difficult things than He is in the things that we think is blessing. Because He's trying to show us what we're like. He already knows what we're like. Isn't that amazing? He knows what we're like and He still loves us. He knows what we're like and He knows how we're going to respond, but He still tests us. So we'll know. So we'll understand what's going on inside, because God wants to have a relationship with us that's intimate. And He can't become intimate with us until we release most of what we're dealing with. All right, so He proceeds, He provides. And in verse 17, we'll jump over, it says, "Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations of which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." Just when I think I've got it all figured out and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, everything's going along just like, you know, everything's clicking, and then trouble happens. God begins to test, puts the trial ahead of me. My tendency is to think I'm going to be able to do it. I don't need His help. You see, God wants to have such a relationship with us that we never do not want His help. That we will always look to Him in every situation. It's not the government that provides us to get wealth. Look, even forget about capitalism. It's God that provides for us. And if necessary, God will provide miraculously, like He did for the widow, if needed. And whatever comes from His hand has to be divine. Say, well, I won't be able to buy wholesome bread anymore. Moses says, here's the reality. Here's God who has led us. He's gone before us. Here is God who's provided manna. He provided water from the rock. His provision has been sustaining. Every day, we have no need. We don't have to worry about it. It's going to be there because He is sustaining us. But Moses said the most important thing is not only will we learn that He will supply the bread that we need every day, but more importantly, we need to live on the bread that comes from His mouth, the Word of God. Have we reached a point in our relationship where the Word of God is more important to us than the food that He provides? Jesus says, my will is to do the will of the Heavenly Father. My meat, my sustenance, my food is to do. There were times He went without food so that He could be fed by His Father. A lot to give thanks for. And what God wants is that we don't forget. Remember that He's the God who leads us, God who feeds us. He's the God who prospers. The prosperity that we have is all through His hand. People are learning today you can have a lifetime of making money and it can be gone in an instant. And it doesn't matter who you blame it on. God's behind it. God's working in it. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What I have today, I have because of Him. What I have tomorrow, if I survive, will be because of Him. Everything is His supply, His provision, His prosperity in my life. There's two more P's. I'll just mention them. In chapter 9, therefore, verse 6, therefore understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. Also at Horeb it says in verse 8, you provoked the Lord to wrath. So He preceded them, He led them, He provided for them, He fed them, He prospered them with wealth in a multiplicity of ways. And even in all of that, their attitude stunk and they provoked Him to wrath. Have you ever been aware that you provoked the Lord? Dr. Pano used to use the phrase, how the Lord would take him to the woodshed. You know, there was a day when dads weren't worried about what people would say and they would use the rod. That's how I was brought up. As you can see, it didn't hurt me any. I deserved it every time. But it taught me something. Taught me discipline, and the Lord has done that. The Lord chastises us. The Lord disciplines us. And He does it most often by putting us in a test. And in that test, if we respond to Him as we should, we'll be humbled. And we must not forget that if we don't, we're going to provoke. I want to provoke to good works, not bad works. I want to provoke God in a positive way. So instead of provoking Him, I want to praise Him and give Him thanks for all the things that He has done for me and done for you. And then at the end of that chapter, verse 22, remember, Moses says, your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, do not look on the stubbornness of this people. He's talking to God now. He's praying. He's interceding for the benefit of the people. He said, don't look on the stubbornness of this people or on their wickedness or their sin, lest the land from which you brought us should say, because the Lord was not able to bring them in to the land which He promised them, and because He hated them, He has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. Yet they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and by your outstretched arm. He's arguing with the Lord who's been provoked. And God basically was going to just eliminate the Israeli people and let Moses become the new family. And He'd produce a new family through them. And Moses, thank God Moses pleaded. Thank God Moses stood in the gap, took up the hedge, and prayed on behalf of the people because God had made a promise. You know, when God makes a promise, He keeps His promise. It may not come today, but His promise will come. And He's made promises. He's made promises to me in my lifetime. And He's made me aware in recent days that things that He's been putting in my heart for years are going to start to come to pass in ways that I had not dreamed of, in ways that I had not known about. When we go to Thanksgiving this week, all week long, as we prepare ourselves for this grand occasion, let's be reminded that God is a God who is preceding us. There's nothing going on in your life that He is not surprised at. The truth of it is He's leading you there because in that being led to that place, It's that place that God is going to show you some things about you, and you're going to know some things about you that you would have never known otherwise. Last Sunday, we were in a church, a very small church. I think the total attendance that morning was, counting Carol and I think it was 11. And their worship time was with one guitar. And the gentleman who was playing the guitar told me before church that that guitar was custom built. It was a Martin, and it was custom built for another man. And after he had what had been custom built, he decided he didn't want it. And so the company that had it built just took it back, and they resold it. And, of course, this gentleman bought it. And he said he really liked it because it had a resonance that was great. And you guitar players, you know what I'm talking about. You hear it. And when you hear it, it's there. And he said it was there, but he says, I just needed to keep tuning it. I needed to keep stretching it. And he said, so I kept tightening the key, you know, the strings. And eventually what happened was the neck broke. So he took it to Lansing, Michigan, to a place that's what they do. They looked at it, and they says, oh, yeah, we can fix it. And a month later, when he went back to pick it up, he says, what was wrong? He says, well, there was a design flaw. There was a place in the neck that was flawed, and when you kept putting pressure on it, it broke it. He says, but we've fixed that, and you can put all the pressure you want on it now. And when he said that, I know it's clicked with you too. The Lord tightens the strings because he wants us to find out where we're weak. And Paul said something like this in one of his writings, didn't he? When I am weak, then I am strong. So he proceeds, he prospers, and he provides. And he gives us the promise that is his. Father God, there's so much, obviously, we can be thankful for. Grateful for the goodness that you have poured out upon us. And all this week as we move toward Thursday and being Thanksgiving and wherever we'll be with whomever we are, may we come into that day more thankful than we've been in a long time. May we this week take an action on our part to remember, to look back on all the good things that you have done. I thank you, Lord, in my own life as you have led me. You've never led me astray. You've always led me in the way that you wanted me to go. And Lord, it's in my heart, it really is in my heart to be obedient and to do what you want, to be responsible and say yes. And Lord, this day, in the presence of this body, Lord, I commit my way to you. I commit to doing what you're asking me to do. And that, Lord, I am willing to yield my life, to yield all that I am to your hands for you to do what you want to do. Lord, I'm saying yes to what you've put into my heart this day, and Lord, that I'll be faithful to accomplish all you desire me to accomplish. Make that our prayer together, that what we do and how we do it will be observed, and that those who are watching us will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and by that action, we will be preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the life that we're living. And if people miss anything and everything else about us, may they see in us, Lord, that it's our desire to follow you, to be obedient to you. So, Father God, we praise you, give you thanks for the goodness that you've poured out on us. We pray all of this earnestly and sincerely in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Ron.